With the Lord's help, I would like to discuss with you today three aspects of love. Now, much is being said about love in the world today, which clearly shows that there is no proper understanding of what true love actually is. A great deal that passes for love is mere sensualism or emotionalism. And in this, self-pleasing and self-satisfaction are really largely the deceptive motivations for the display of so-called love. And neither is mere sentiment to be confused with true love. Mere sentiment is like the froth of an ice cream soda, shall we say, froth generated by air at the top, in contrast to the substance in the bottom of the glass. True love also puts great value upon the object of its love. It always seeks the good and welfare of its object, and hence it may display itself in various ways for that good. Then, too, true love, which is divine love, always acts in accord with divine characteristics. God is love, the Bible tells us, and at the same time, it also says that God is light. Hence, both love and light together comprise the nature of God. And He ever acts in accord with both qualities. His love is always holy and righteous, just as pure as light itself. In the first epistle of John, chapter 4, let us notice the first aspect of love which we wish to consider today in these few moments with the book, namely, the manifestation of love. In verse 8 we read, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The proof that the world around us knows not God is seen in the hatred and lust, the selfishness and greed, the violence and corruption which characterizes the whole world system of sinful men. The absence of love that seeketh not her own only displays the fact that men do not know the love of God. They do not know God. They know not God because they love darkness rather than light, and they have not come to the light. They do not wish to have their deeds reproved, and they do not wish to be made right." Now, it is into this very world of darkness and sin and hatred, a world that's ruined by the fall of man, a world that was tested and proven guilty by the giving of the law, I say it was into this world that the Son of God came to manifest, to display, to show clearly divine love. We read these wonderful words in verse 9 of 1 John 4. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Have you ever seriously considered those wonderful words? Get them in your Bible and read them. Now, mankind was hopelessly ruined by sin, and judgment was passed upon man, a judgment of death and judgment. But when man's sin was fully exposed to himself, in his being absolutely ungodly by nature and totally helpless in practice, it was then, dear friend, that God manifested His love. When man was proven to be ruined and helpless and guilty, it is then that God came and manifested His love. How? He sent His only begotten Son into the world. And why? That we might live through Him. Had God sent judgment and blotted out the entire human race, it would have been what man definitely deserved. But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but to save. God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherewith He loved us. In John 3:16 we read, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Well might we sing, "Oh, what a gift the Father gave when He bestowed His Son to save poor, ruined, guilty man by sin defiled, undone. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to to die on Calvary. What a love! Have you tasted of that love? It was not love that was called out to us because of some virtue in us. No, we were all enemies of God, enemies in our mind by wicked works, alienated from God, not desiring God even in our thoughts. As fools, we always say, "No God for me." Verse 9 says, "Not that we love God," and we didn't, "but that he loved us." And why did he love us? I do not know. I know that he did not love me because I was good, because the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. He did not love me because I am righteous or was righteous. The Word of God declares there is none righteous, no, not one. And he does not love me because I'm lovable. No, by nature, I had my part with those who hated him without a cause. He loved us, dear friend, and he loves you simply because he loves you. And though we do not know why he loved us, there is no question as to the fact of that love, because we have the proof of his love in a clear manifestation. It is seen in the fact that God sent his Son. His Son came into the world to save sinners. God sent him. And how and why? He came of a virgin, manifest in flesh. Why? To be the propitiation for our sins, to be a satisfying sacrifice to take our sins away. And though we deserve judgment, God sent this propitiatory sacrifice, a salvation that we didn't deserve. This is grace. Salvation, because of love for us, could not be, however, at the expense of his holiness and righteousness, you see. So he sent his Son to be this satisfying sacrifice for sinners. A sacrifice of blood, life given up. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That was the condemnation, the sentence passed upon us all. And after death, the judgment. But Christ came and gave himself, a sacrifice that satisfied the holy, righteous demands of a holy God. And he, the just one, came and suffered for us, the unjust, that we might be brought to God. Now here, dear friend, is the greatest manifestation of love that has ever been seen and ever will be seen. I ask if you have ever, by faith, turned your eye to that awful scene on Calvary and seen this marvelous manifestation of love against the dark background of your sin. There, the Holy One who knew no sin, God made him sin for us. The Savior died our souls to win upon that shameful cross. His precious blood alone avails to wash our sins away. Through weakness he o'er hell prevailed, through death he won the day. His beauty shineth far above our feeble power of praise, and we shall live and learn his love through everlasting days. Then knowing this, that us he loves, has made our cup run o'er. Jesus, thy name our spirits move today and evermore. What love! Love that we taste of when we come to Christ. Love that we shall experience more and more throughout the eternal ages. Behold, what manner of love! The Lord Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And dear listener, our blessed Lord Jesus laid down his life even for his enemies. And this is love, love superlative indeed. Love without measure, love without end, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, a love that cannot be measured only by the unfathomable depths of his suffering on the cross, when he went into death for us. Turn next, however, to Romans 5 to consider the commendation of love. We read, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friend, God commends his love to you. He wants you to receive it. And to receive the benefits of his love, you must accept what his love offers. Now, two things are mentioned in verse 9 that you and I, as sinners, need. The first is justification, and the second is salvation from the just wrath of God that we deserve. Now, his love, I say, is commended to you for your acceptance. You are condemned as unrighteous before God in your natural standing, as all men are, and there's no difference. But his love has procured justification for you. And what does that mean? It means a clearance of your guilt before him, a being made right before him. How did he do it? His love provided his Son, who, in his love, shed his blood. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us justification before God. It clears us from guilt. Now also, his love has provided salvation from the wrath to come. Wrath is certain to come. God has appointed the day in which he'll judge the world. And everyone who rejects his Son has judgment abiding upon him. And judgment is waiting to fall on all those who have died in their sins, who will be raised in their sins, to be judged in their sins, to be consigned in their sins to an eternal separation from God. The Lord Jesus came through God's love, was manifested, and he is commended to you for salvation from this wrath. And through him, the one who bore the storm of judgment on the cross and exhausted it, you may have this deliverance, if you will only have him. Will you not receive the Lord Jesus? You must, or you will perish beneath the just judgment that you deserve. But this need not be. The Son of God, the Apostle Paul said, loved me and gave himself for me, and he was the chief of sinners. And regardless of how you have sinned and when you have sinned and how much you have sinned, friend, Christ died for you. And God commends his love to you for your acceptance. But finally, just notice with me a third aspect of love. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 a solemn consideration in regards to the rejection of love. In 2 Thessalonians 2, where the doom of the unsaved who are left behind on earth at the rapture is unfolded, we read that the damnation of those left behind is, quote, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, God commends his love to you for your acceptance. If you do not receive the love of the truth, if you reject it, you will meet the doom of what we read next. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How solemn to consider such an end. And these words of the Spirit of God through Paul, dear friend, are intended to awaken you to your direful need of receiving the love of the truth or else perishing in your own sin. You need not perish. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, God's love has been clearly, fully manifested at Calvary. Again, I repeat, greater love hath no man than this. Our God could not do anything more. And he loves you and it is to you that he commends this love now in the gospel. The gospel tells of this love, the heart of God told out. The one who loved you gave himself for you. Oh, I would plead with you that you do not any longer turn away from this love, nor turn this love away. Would you not, will you not, rather, receive right now, this moment, by faith, the love of the truth? The truth is that which will deliver, it'll purify. The Lord himself is truth personified. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the one who has displayed the love of God in coming here in humiliation and in suffering, bearing your sin on the cross. Oh, the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. You will know this love. You'll possess this true love, a love that is divine, the love that is real, the love that is in accord with righteousness. It'll be shed abroad in your heart the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you do, you'll become his child forever and partake of his nature. And then you'll be able to say, along with every one of us, who by faith have seen the manifestation of love on the cross, who have received the commendation of love in the gospel, we can say, we love him because he first loved us. It is our desire that these few moments with the book today, bringing you this message of the love of God in these aspects, will be the means of reaching your heart. And that this everlasting love, a love that Jesus has for you, will dawn upon you for the first time, perhaps. And you'll open your heart to the sunshine of his love, the proof of it as you see it displayed at Calvary where he died for you. To get the benefits, again, I repeat, turn in repentance just as you are, and the propitiation that he made through giving his own blood will be put to your account. And you can say, he died for me. And again, I repeat, you'll be glad to say now and forever, we love him because he first loved us. May God bless the message of this love to every listener.